Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? And we'll partake of the Holy Communion and get His healing power activated in our lives. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. You know, which means you could take it daily, you could take it 3 times a day, you could take it weekly, monthly. Whatever you do, don't take it out of habit. Take it out of faith. And pull on the promises that this communion offers you. Healing, health, well-being. You know something? Paul said that the only reason that Christians die sick, you know, die early or sickly and die early is because they don't discern the body of Christ. Now, God gave us particular directions. You notice these are not white rice wafers. This is matzah bread. And this is the bread that God told us to take communion with. He gave us particular directions on how to make this bread. In the Old Testament, it is filled with types and shadows of Jesus. This is significant of the body of Christ. This is, you can picture Him in this. He said to make this bread without yeast. Jesus' body was certainly without sin. Yeast is significant of sin in the Old Testament. Jesus' body is sinless. Praise God. This bread has also been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquities. He was beaten severely for us. Sometimes we have some internal hurts and internal wounds that we just can't deal with. Only Jesus can get down to the core of those hurts. He is our healer. Let Him be your healer. You'll notice that this bread has also been pierced. He was certainly pierced for us. Not only was He pierced on that cross, but he had a crown of thorns that caused Him to shed blood. Everywhere that Jesus shed His blood is significant. And it caused us to have some kind of redemption. Find out where He shed His blood and find out what He redeemed for you in that shedding of that blood. You'll notice that this blood, that this body has stripes on it. And it was by His stripes that we were healed. Praise God. You'll also notice a special thing about this bread. That it's slightly burned. When Jesus was on that cross. When He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because God had turned His head away from Him. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus on that cross. The wrath and judgment that was meant for us, that we deserved, was laid on Jesus. He took it all. This is the gospel of grace. Jesus took it all. Everything that we did wrong, He took it all so that we could take everything that He did right. To the glory of God, He did this for us. His body was broken so that we could be healed. So Jesus, we take this. We proclaim Your death and we proclaim the devil's defeat. We thank You for Your healing, Jesus. We receive it freely by Your grace because of the shed blood that You shed on that cross. Your blood not only remitted our sins, but Your blood protects us. Psalm 91 is ours. We can walk in it daily. Your blood made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace. And we can be in the presence of God. And we can receive from Him help and grace in time of need. And we praise You for these things in Jesus' name. That's how we discern the body and blood of Christ. And we do it on purpose and we release our faith in it. We receive from it what we need to. You can take this just out of curiosity. If your doctor said you had the Mongolian toe warts and you had to take this medicine 3 times a day, you have to take it at 6 in the morning, at noon, and at 6 in the evening. Or all your hair is going to fall off, your kid's going to be born naked. I bet you would be in there at 6 in the morning and noon and 6 at night taking that medicine. This is God's medicine. Take it as often as you will. Poppy got bald? Well, God knows where all his hair fell out. Because he numbered the hairs on his head. And he's going to get them back. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us. And we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given unto us so that when we open your word and we study your word, the Holy Spirit is right here to teach us, show us how to rightfully divide your word. We're going to get the revelation out of it. That word is going to come alive in our hearts. We're going to speak it forth in faith. And it's going to change our world around us. And we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Are we having children's church? Okay. I just thought I'd let her sweat that one for a little bit. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 10. We're going to continue on with our study on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to eventually get to the point where we're studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But right now, what we need to do is we've already been through the book of Acts. We went all the way through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, finding specific things how the Holy Spirit was right there with them people to teach them, to show them how to get through this world in the ministry that he set before them, and so we've seen how he operates with different people. What we need to be focused on right now is we need to be God inside minded. See, this relationship with the Holy Spirit isn't something where the Holy Spirit is over here and you're just kind of going. He's inside you. He's on you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you. Amen? When you get born again, yes, I know the Holy Spirit moves in. But that is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do have the Holy Spirit. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That means that is a separate act from being born again. You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you can be endued with power so that you can go out into this world. Amen. The same way Jesus did. He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Now, he did say to follow in his steps, didn't he? And we are called Christians. That means we're little anointed ones. He is the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the anointing. That's not his last name. The anointed one. And then he shared his anointing with you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, one thing we need to understand, beyond any shadow of a doubt, is God is not your problem. God is not causing you to have some sickness to teach you a lesson. God is on your side 100%. Amen? Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus, he said this out of his own mouth. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Draw a line under that and circle it. With a separate marker, circle this next part. It says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the thief. That's from Jesus himself. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the thief. Amen? And you've been endued with power. You've been given authority over that rat. Amen? So you take up your position in Christ. And you fight from victory ground. You're not fighting for victory. You already have the victory. You've already been given the victory. Amen? Now you fight from victory ground. The Bible tells us that you've been made kings and priests. So you're sitting down. You're not working for it. You're sitting down at the right hand of God. That's where you are. The book of Ephesians tells us that we are the body of Christ. He's the head of the church. We're the body of Christ. We're the church. That's the body of Christ. We're seated at the right hand of God. That means you decree something. Well, what do you mean I decree something? That means you say something the way God said it. Amen? You call things that aren't as though they are. You tell sickness to be gone in the name of Jesus. Jesus doesn't do it. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, "You whatever he did, you'd do too, and even greater things than you'd do. You just ask in his name." You do the asking, he does the doing. Amen? Now, there's some things that we absolutely have to understand about Jesus and us if we're ever going to walk in the things of God. And without revelation of this stuff, it's next to impossible to do the things that God has called us to do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, there is a teaching that on this earth, Jesus was God. I know that Jesus is all God. And he is on this earth. He became flesh. Remember in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God. Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld and called him Jesus." Jesus became a man on this earth. This is very significant. It's very, very important to understand this. Jesus is completely God. I know that. He was born completely human. He was born completely human. He went through every single temptation. You know, sometimes if people don't look at the humanity of Jesus, it's hard to understand him as being our high priest. See, he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. I mean, he can identify with every single one of our temptations. He can identify with every single one of our weaknesses. He can identify with us. As a man, he can identify with us. Amen? Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. Remember, Jesus became a man on this earth. He was a man. A human being. Flesh and blood. See, the big difference about him, he didn't have Adam's blood flowing through his veins. We have Adam's blood. Jesus had the blood of God. flowing through his veins, which is untainted, without sin. Amen. Look here. Verse 1 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Well, who delivered it unto Satan? How did he get that? He usurped it from Adam. Amen? He got it from Adam. "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." "And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Now, he went on down here to verse 18. Jesus went into this synagogue, and he found himself in the Word. You want to know who you are? Open the Bible. That's where you find yourself in the Word. That's where you find out you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's where you find out you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's where you find out you've been justified freely by His grace. That's where you find out you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where you find out who you are. And right here in verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's you. Jesus was a righteous man. We know this because when he went down into the River Jordan, God looked down on himself. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." We know that he lived by faith because without faith it is impossible to please God. So Jesus was standing in that water. We know that he had been living a righteous life and he pleased God. He lived by faith. And then he got baptized and then the Holy Spirit came upon him. And look what happened. He went out, beat every temptation. And then he came down filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And then he could go out into his ministry. Now you, when you get born again, you become a righteous man because of the blood of Jesus. Then you go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Why not everybody do that? Not everybody has a revelation of that. Nope, not everybody has studied that. Not everybody feeds along those lines. But we need to. See, this is our tools to go out into the missionary field, to go out into to witness to our neighbors, to witness to whoever we might run into at the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever we may go. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, he went through every temptation and conquered every one of them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We're going to be meticulous about this Bible study. We're going to look at all the important things. We're going to see this. We're going to see Jesus as Him as we learn of Him. We'll get more revelation of Him, and more of these things that we desire of God is going to happen to us. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want to tell you, folks, Jesus was tempted. You're going to be tempted. Amen? Now, sometimes people get frustrated because they get tempted with something, but listen. Satan's been practicing with people for a long time. He knows he's going to tempt you. It's not a sin to be tempted. No. That's a fiery dart. See, Satan, although he does not have any access to your spirit, he does have access to your soul. So he'll tempt you with different thoughts, different ideas. And then what we need to do is go to the throne room of grace and help. Get this help in this time of need. Go boldly in there. You know, don't meditate on that temptation. That's how sin happens. Amen? Then you thank God for the waterfall of forgiveness through His shed blood. In 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, He is in the light. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Now, He was tempted in all ways, and He overcame all them temptations. And He put that life in you. It's an important thing to have that understanding, have that revelation. God is on in there. He's in there. Be God inside minded. The greater one is on the inside of you. Amen? You can do all things through Christ, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. It's important to remember that. See, we get faced with some stuff that scares people plumb out of their socks. You know, these doctors put names on these different things, but understand this, the greater one is on the inside of you. Did you know that God is greater than cancer? God is greater than AIDS? God is greater than fear. He's greater than everything that man has ever come up with or named. He's greater than anything that Satan has ever devised. And He's on the inside of you. Be God inside minded. Now, go back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who toucheth me?' Jesus said, 'Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. So during his ministry on earth, he conquered sickness. He conquered the winds. He conquered the waves. He conquered the powers of darkness. Everything that he came in contact, he conquered it. That was before he went back to heaven. On this earth, as a righteous man, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he conquered everything that come his way. You know, one time there was a funeral procession going down the road, and this widow was crying. It was her only son, and she was a widow. There was nobody to take care of her. And Jesus, this is pretty radical. But that's the way Christians are supposed to be in their faith. And I'm not talking about protesting. I'm not talking about raising Cain at the courthouse. I'm not talking about doing none of that. I'm talking about getting radical in your faith, where he raised this widow's son back to life in the middle of the funeral procession. Amen. He healed sickness wherever he went. He manipulated the weather pattern. Look at Luke chapter 7, verse 11. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. The powers of darkness and death, his life brings victory over the devil and all his works, and he put his life in you. He's in there. He's in there. So that you can share his life with somebody else. Amen? Anybody know anybody that's sick? Every single one of us. Anybody know anybody that's not born again? Every single one of us. He needs us to share his life with somebody else. He needs us to be a witness unto his resurrection. Amen. You know, didn't he say that in the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. He would not do that to you if he didn't give you the ability to get this power through the Holy Spirit. Send you out in the name of Jesus and use his name and minister to this world out there. Amen. Jesus went to the cross. And that life in him put an end to everything that is natural as the Adamite race. I mean, sickness, poverty, failures, pains, curses, and death. All that was natural. It ceased to be in that life of his. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says that. Well, let's go. Well, you need to look at that. Some of you, wherever you are, you need to circle this. You need to circle this verse. You need to And understand, it'll take you a long time to get a full revelation of it, but look at this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every time you read those two verses, read verse 29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have been redeemed from the curse. That means you've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. You've been redeemed from the curse of sickness. You've been redeemed from the curse of failure. You've been redeemed from the curse of fear. Maybe somebody needs to get a revelation that you have been redeemed from the curse of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Don't you forget it. I think the one that really needed to hear that verse got it that time. He has redeemed you from the curse. John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God has redeemed you from that. Through that sacrifice of Jesus on that cross, He took everything that we did wrong, traded us straight across, everything He did right. So everything that we deserved, Jesus took it on the cross. Everything that Jesus deserved, He put it on a table for us. Psalm chapter 34, says, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And in that psalm, He says there's a table before us, prepared for us, in the presence of our enemies. That's not a... You know there are no enemies in heaven? There are no enemies there. That table is right here and now. What do you need in this life? Do you need prosperity? Do you need health? Do you need protection? Do you need deliverance? What is it you need? Go to the table and get it freely by His grace. Amen? It's there. Jesus gave it to you at the cross. It's there. It's yours. Go get it. Amen? Now, all that was natural ceased to be in that life of His, but all that was supernatural remained in Him, and He put that life in you. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. That's the more abundant life. That life of God, that Zoe kind of life on the inside of you, that life of God flowing out of you. You're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Amen. You don't cast your, you don't lose your leaves in a drought time. You just keep producing fruit. You know, pretty soon your tree grows over into the neighbor's yard and they pick some fruit. Amen. I remember our bean plants grew right up the fence and grew right over to the neighbor's yard. She said, what do I do? She said, pick them and eat them. She didn't have that concept. I said, you pick them and eat them. Pretty soon our fruit tree is going to be growing over there. I said, you pick that and eat them too. She thought, what kind of... You could see it in her face. It was like, who did I move next to? Well, she caught on. Now, she showed up the other day. She had a great big bag of pecans. She said, I don't like pecans, but I know you guys do. And your bird's here. Amen. Let your fruit be developed by abiding in the vine. Let Him cause you to grow fruit so that you can go out there and share this fruit with other people. You know anybody that needs some love shed in their life? You know anybody that needs some peace shed in their life? Some tolerance? You know anybody that needs something from God? Go out there and share it with them. God's given it to you. He's given it to you freely by His grace. Go share it with this world. Amen. Now, look over to Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. Verse 6, Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. Don't harass him too much for falling asleep. I had a guy up in Wyoming at this church that I used to preach at. He wouldn't make it 5 minutes. He'd get through the praise and worship, and I'd look over there, and he'd be, Donald, you know what? I used to put preaching tapes on my tape player, and then I'd go to bed and I'd go to sleep, and that word would keep going forward. My spirit would pick up on that word whether I was awake or not. And then sometimes I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, now I understand what he's talking about. That word is alive, and your spirit is alive. Our bodies may be weak, but our spirit is alive. Okay. Let's go on here to verse 6. It says, verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord say, he is risen. He's alive. That right there, he overcame death. He rose from the dead, and in that life of his was added the power of resurrection. That resurrection life is on the inside of you. Look at the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. That resurrection life is on the inside of you. The same Holy Spirit, the very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life, is the very same Holy Spirit that operates in the church that has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the resurrection life on the inside of you. Verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That's the life that's on the inside of the believers. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're receiving the baptism of the one that raised Jesus back to life. Don't get caught up in this trap. You'll hear some preacher say sometime on TV, say, you send me a seed offering to $500 or $1,000 and you'll share in my anointing. Well, buddy, I don't want to share in your anointing. I want to share in the Holy Spirit's anointing. I want to share in the only anointing that I have any business operating in, the Holy Spirit's anointing. You know, the one that raised Jesus back to life. Why do I want your secondhand anointing when I can get a fresh anointing from the one that came up with it? Amen? Don't let any con artist talk you into anything else. You got the number one anointing. Amen? From the anointed one himself, Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? He's the only one that is anointed enough to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See why it's so important to get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit teach you how to rightfully divide the word of truth so you don't get caught up in these tricks, in these snares. Amen? We'll do one more and then we'll stop. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. This is red. This is in red. So this is Jesus again. I don't know why people have such a hard time getting this concept. If Jesus said it, it has to be 100% absolute truth. That'd wipe out a whole bunch of different denominations around this world. If they just believe that one concept, Jesus said it, it's the absolute truth. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, these are some verses that get mixed up a lot. He reproves the world of sin. Not Christians. The world. There's too many Christians running around saying, I did something wrong and the Holy Spirit got all over me and I felt so bad, I felt so condemned. That's not the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. If it's condemnation, it's coming from Satan. He uses the law to beat Christians up with. And Christians fall for it all the time. Don't do that. He reproves the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's not you. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. That's what the Holy Spirit spends his time convincing the church of. That they're righteousness. They're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They're in right standing with God. You see how it's important to break these verses down. The world is not righteous. The Christians are righteous. Because of the shed blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, go to the next verse. It says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Not you. You've already been judged. Did you know that? You've already been judged. How can I say that? Because you've been justified. You can't be justified unless you've first been judged. And the Bible tells us that you have been justified freely by His grace. I mean, you first had to have been judged. Every sin that you ever created, every past, present, and future sin was laid on Jesus on that cross. You got judged for it. And then you got justified freely by His grace. Well, how could I possibly say that every future sin you'll ever commit has already been judged? Well, honey, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus got on there, every sin you ever committed was a future sin. Think about these things once in a while. Every sin was judged. Now, if you take Jesus as your righteousness, if you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're under the blood, you're good to go. I didn't give you a license to sin. Don't be an idiot. I gave you a license to walk in the freedom of Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in that liberty. Amen. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Walk in that life of Christ. Amen. Understand that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He rose from the dead, and in that life of His was added the power of resurrection. He put that life in you. He went back to His Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. So that you can have His anointing to walk in His overcoming power. See how that works? He didn't send the Holy Spirit down here so that He could roll around on the floor and talk in tongues. That's stupid. He sent His Holy Spirit down here to endue you with power so that you can go out into the mission field and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that you can make a difference in this world. That's what it's about. He wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. That's the body of Christ. So that you can go out there and minister to people who are hurting. Amen. You can help get them set free in the name of Jesus. You can cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick. You can be the minister that God has called you to be. I know you're not part of the fivefold, you know, but you're still a minister of the highest rank. You're an ambassador for Christ. Amen? You've got a ministry. Every day. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to learn from you, how to learn of Jesus. How he teaches us how to get this word right, how to get it in order. We can rightfully divide your word of truth so that we can go forth as a workman, not needing to be ashamed. Father, we can operate in your kingdom the way you designed us to. Going out there, preaching the gospel, witnessing to people, getting them born again, causing your family to grow day by day. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just hold on a second for, you know, there's somebody watching on these videos somewhere that hasn't been born again. That's the first thing. You want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to be born again first. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, it's a personal relationship between you and God. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Because it is with our confession made unto salvation, and with our heart man believes unto righteousness. So just ask Jesus to be your Lord right now. It's this easy. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord. I believe that God raised you back to life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. This day I confess you to be my Lord. That's how you get born again. Get in the Bible and learn from Jesus so that you can operate in faith the way you're designed to. Thank you in the name of Jesus, Father, for all these things. We have coffee and we have cake, cookies, whatever we have back there. We have fellowship. And everybody's welcome to come back and visit and be a part of the body.